going, so I got both of them working. The book of Philippians, still in chapter 1 this evening. We want those that are listening to us to be part of us. Give us a call, comments, questions, or just say hi. It's BibleForToday.org is our email. Or the phone number is simply 856-261-9018. On Philippians chapter 1, we should begin at 18, we're going to pick up with verse 17, chapter 1 of Philippians, verses 17, 18, and 19, beginning at 17 together. But the other of love,
knowing that I am sent to the gospel.
What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ be preached, and I therefore do rejoice,
yea, and will still rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
All right, in verse number 17. Talking about different people preaching Christ or contention and arguing and bickering. And then verse number 16, the other of love and knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Paul was set for the defense even though he was in prison in Rome as he writes this letter of Philippians. And then in verse 19, he knows what? What does he know in this verse number 19? Questions at BibleForToday.org, 856-261-9018.
Did you jump from 17 to 19?
I went 17, 18, and 19.
He's on 17.
I'm on 17, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What does, of love, knowing, what are these, oh, excuse me, Tammy.
Well, he's set for the defense, that part?
Yes, that part.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I think the fact that he's in prison, it's because of the gospel and for the defense of the gospel. And so he knows that that's the reason that he has been in prison. He's set in this prison or set in this place in this particular time in his life.
Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be set for something? Any hands on that? Set for
prepared.
Could be part of prepared. What else? Set. What's the opposite of set?
Moved,
changed, twisted around. And if he's set for the defense of the gospel, what would that mean? How would you go about it? Should we be set for the defense of the gospel? How would that happen? How do you do that? Any hands on that? How does anyone be set for the gospel, defense of it?
Why, reading God's word and staying in constant communion with your Lord and Savior.
All right.
You know, because you can't find any truth other than what's in the scriptures.
Are there some in this world and right now in our country and in our areas that are not set for the defense of the gospel but are tearing the gospel apart?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the ways they tear the gospel apart? Yeah, John?
Salvation is through the death of Christ instead of through his blood.
That's one way.
Through the resurrection of Christ instead of through his blood.
All right. What else, Tammy?
Saved by works or sacraments?
Works or sacraments, that's right. These are some of the things, but defense of the gospel. Now, what are some of the elements that are in the true gospel, and how should it be told to others that are lost? What does it mean to defend the gospel? What part of the gospel does the gospel need defending these days? Why? And wherein? And what parts? Does everyone believe the gospel?
No.
Do all churches believe the gospel? I think they should if they're a church, but they don't. Why don't they? What is their gospel different from the biblical gospel? The ten?
Well, sometimes people pick and choose parts of the gospel, and they don't take the whole gospel. And I'm just thinking of creation and the whole idea that, you know, Adam and Eve are real people.
Mm-hmm.
And that we sinned in Adam, and that they would say it's just a myth, and they would say we descended from apes, you know, because they don't want to accept the truth.
Right.
And there might be Christian churches, so you know, that deny that, and they'll preach that the gospel, but they'll miss that part of it.
Mm-hmm. Is the gospel good news, and is there some bad news connected with it? If so, which of the two can you want to talk about?
Well, yes. The gospel means good news, but there are many that see some aspects of it as being bad news, and that would be that, you know, that without Christ, we are bound for hell.
So that's the bad news of the gospel.
Yeah.
We're all lost and bound for the devil's hell, lake of fire for eternity. And what's the good part of the gospel? What is what we should tell these that are ready to go to hell or not ready to go to hell for eternity? Yeah, Pastor Dan?
Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
He's buried and rose again the third day, and all according to the prophecy of the Scriptures.
Yes.
Amen.
And what must a person understand, believe, if he's going to become a Christian? The good part of the gospel, trusting him as Savior. But before that happens, what should he know or what should she know? Yeah, Tammy?
Those things that are written in Genesis.
All right. Yeah, John?
I'm going to say they need to realize that they are a sinner.
Sinner, lost, bound for hell. That's the bad part of the gospel. Mm-hmm. The bad part is every single person in this world, man, woman, and child, is a sinner and bound for hell unless they trust genuinely in the Lord Jesus Christ, who can save them. It's very important. And do some people say they're not sinners?
Yes.
That's right. And if they're not sinners, then they don't have to trust Christ, who died for their sins. Yeah, Tammy?
Well, the humanism that's all over this world today,
mm-hmm,
it denies that God is the source of anything, and mm-hmm, some divine entity within them that has nothing to do with, you know God the Father or mm-hmm, the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's a satanic thing, and they're trusting in themselves and they're trusting in demons.
Should we today be set for the defense of the gospel? Does that make some people mad?
Mm-hmm.
Probably so. Should we stop defending the gospel because some people are mad?
Absolutely not.
No. Don't be afraid of man. Serve the Lord. And Paul says,
yeah,
he's set. He's not caring what these other people preach, not sincerely, as it says in verse 16, but he's set for the gospel. Then in verse 18, what then? John, go ahead.
Yes. The Lord tells us in Scripture that we're not to fear the one that can kill the body, but to fear the one that can kill both the body and the soul.
Body and the soul, that's exactly right.
That's only God.
That's only God. Notwithstanding, within pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. What does it mean to preach Christ in pretense? Are there some preachers today that preach him in pretense? Tell me.
An ulterior motive.
All right. Not generally, just in pretense, pretending to preach. Not in pretense or in truth, whether in pretense or in truth, what would be the difference between preaching the gospel in pretense or preaching the gospel in truth? What would be the difference there? How would you define those two things? Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Let's hear from you. Say hello. Greet us. Glad to have you. Yes, John.
I was saying, with pretense, you have a preconceived idea of what the outcome is going to be. You've already got a pretext,
mm-hmm,
you know, that you're going to shape the gospel message to mm-hmm fit your pretext, you know. And truth is Scripture says, mm-hmm, you know, Jesus is truth.
What does Paul do about the gospel in the same verse number 18? Tammy?
He's rejoicing that it's preached.
All right.
No matter what the motive for it.
Yeah.
Yes, and Christ is preached, and what is Paul's reaction to the true gospel being preached?
He rejoices.
That should be our example too, and our result. We should rejoice, and will rejoice, not only now present tense, but future tense. Mm-hmm. And whenever the gospel is preached, and preaching the gospel gets a lot of people mad, upset. And with this condition the way we're in now, shutting everything down, preaching the gospel, I'm sure that people who preach the gospel, it could be very soon, and probably in some areas it's still happening, come and arrest the guy that's preaching the gospel, even if it's out in the street preaching to people. We've got a terrible situation, as we all know, presently. We ought to be faithful. Now let's read verses 19, 20, and 21 together. Did we read 19 already?
Yes.
Yeah, we read 19.
Okay. All right, so I guess we're going to read...
well, we should talk about 19 yet,
though. Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about that. Okay. All right. What does Paul know in verse 19? What does Paul know? Any hands on that? Anna?
Well, that the Philippians will be praying and that he will be released from prison.
All right. His salvation, meaning he's going to be freed from that Roman prison. Why was he in prison anyway? What did he do that was prisonable? Any hands on that? Tammy?
He appealed to Caesar.
Appealed to Caesar, that's right. He would have been judged there in his place wherever he was started to appeal to Caesar. And he was in prison because he preached the gospel of Christ and they didn't like it. So they put him in jail. Did that stop him from preaching Christ? Mm-hmm. Did it?
Mm-hmm.
No, it didn't stop him at all. And then, that was 19. And supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ through your prayer, he says, this will turn to my salvation or deliverance from prison, probably, in Rome, through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So prayer and spiritual power, he believes, will free him one day. Any other comments on verse 19? If not, let's read 20, 21, and 22 together. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also
shall be magnified in my body,
whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I will not. All right, verse 19, we'll finish verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope. What is his earnest expectation and his hope in this verse? What is it? Pastor Dan?
No, I'm sure Tim did it.
Oh, Tammy?
No.
Interrupt the Lord, to know the Lord Jesus Christ better.
All right. The earnest expectation is hope. That in nothing I shall be ashamed, in nothing, but, as Pastor Dan said, without boldness, as always, so now. Now notice these two words, two phrases. As always, so now. What does it mean? What do those two phrases mean? As always, so now. Anna?
So, as always, like it was in the past.
All right.
And so now, in the present, so like the current situation, he doesn't want it to change. Mm-hmm. How Christ is being magnified.
That shows that Paul was an everlasting, continuous servant of the Lord. Many of us can't say as always, because there are times we didn't serve the Lord. So now, see, it's the past and the present and the future that's very important. So serving the Lord all of our lives without giving in at all to any change for the worse. As always, so now. Whether it be by life or by death, what does he want to happen? And what does it mean?
Christ shall be magnified.
What does that mean?
It will show forth.
All right. What does it do when something is magnified? What does that mean, Tammy?
Get bigger, make it more visible.
Bigger, more visible. And as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified. Where? In this verse, does it say he's going to be magnified? Where? Anna?
Oh, sorry, I was just scratching.
Oh, okay.
In the Apostle Paul's body.
magnified in his body. He may look bad, he may look sick, he may be skinny, he may have all kinds of problems, but the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants to be magnified. What does magnify mean?
We just talked about that.
Yeah.
Made bigger.
Be bigger, be more explicit so people can see it, so everybody can know what he is. Christ magnified in my body. Now, I guess two different possibilities here of how Christ could be magnified in his body. What are the two?
Life and
John,
death.
By life, magnify, or by death. Which did he prefer? We'll touch on the next couple of verses, but which was his preference? Which was better? Not his preference, but yes.
Well, he said that to die is gain,
yes,
and that it's far better to be with Christ.
So that's the thing, but you see, he doesn't want to take the better, because in the next verse, that to live is Christ, to die is gain. But to live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. And that last part of the last part of that verse 22, what does he say there? Very important.
But we're not on 22 yet.
Aren't we finished with 21? Oh, no, we didn't get 21. Well, that's a very important verse. I don't want to miss that one. What does it say about living and dying? John?
Well, actually, my answer was back to what you'd asked prior to that.
Okay.
I was going to say, back up to verse 23, it tells us about which one is better. It says, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. So
yes,
he doesn't know which one to decide. Should I live or should I die? You know, he can't decide between the two, but he does say to be with Christ is better.
He knows what's better, but he's not to be selfish, Pastor Lenny.
Right.
Coming up from Maine, the pastor sending warm greetings to you and all your family, church family there in Hollywood, and to those watching by internet. Thank you very much for this evening's Bible study. God bless you all, and his love, Carl and Vicki.
Let's wave to Carl and Vicki. They can see my hand waving.
Yeah.
They can't see us.
They can hear us.
Thank you very much. We appreciate them very greatly. They've been faithful for many years. Was it?
I said, go to get your email.
Yeah. But we've touched on 20, his expectation, his hope, not be ashamed. And by life or by death, he wants Christ to be magnified. And to me, what are the two choices? We'll probably touch on it, but let's review it. What are the two choices that he has? For to me, what? Tell me.
Choices, to live or to die.
Live or to die. But if he's going to live, what is his content of his life? Yes.
Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ. Serving him, preaching him, regardless. And by death, what would that imply?
Well, by death he gains everything. He gains the new body. He's with the Lord.
With the Lord.
You know, but he's no longer able to serve him on the earth.
To live is Christ, to die is gain. Why is dying gain for Paul the Apostle? Yes, Tammy?
Well, he endured a lot of persecution and a lot of suffering on this earth when he was preaching the gospel, and he wasn't, the Lord wasn't physically with him, but when he goes to be, you know, in heaven, and then the Lord was right there. He's going to be right there.
Mm-hmm.
He'll have a new body. All sorts of reasons why. Mm-hmm.
So. Yes. Magnified in my body. Now, the Lord Jesus can be magnified in our bodies by our lives if we live to please him. How can he be magnified by our death? Paul's death, he said he'd be magnified. If it's for us, if we're like Paul, how can our death magnify the Lord Jesus Christ? None of us have yet experienced death. Does the death of every Christian magnify the Lord?
No.
Or not? Not necessarily. But that's Paul's idea, that's Paul's feeling. Living Christ. Dying, gain. Why is death gain for genuine Christians? Any hands on that? Why is death gain? What do we have in death for genuine Christians that we don't have in life? Anna?
We're freed from the flesh.
Freed from the flesh, that's right. And we don't have to pay any taxes, don't have to buy any food. Lots of things. It's gain. I mean, we don't have to worry about anything, see? Being imprisoned or whatever.
No more Democrats or Republicans.
That's right, exactly right. No more communists or socialists either. That's right. And
we're capitalists.
What is it?
Capitalists.
Or capitalists, either one, that's right. Now, did we read down through 22 or 23? Where did we stop reading? I forget.
It was chapter 21.
Oh, it was chapter 21.
No, we stopped reading at 22.
22.
But we haven't done that one first.
Right,
yet.
Right. Now, when Paul says, but, on the other hand, what is he saying now? Live in the flesh or die as he ain't. On the other hand, but, how does he explain himself now? What does he say now that's important for us to look at as well? Questions at vftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Let's hear from him. Give us a call, comment, question. Just say hello. If I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. That's all I can do is live for Christ in the flesh. That's the fruit living. Yet, there it is.
There's our hour.
We want to continue. Any other comments or questions, Mr.?
We can finish the verse.
Yes, that's right. That's verse number 22. If I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet, what is this statement there? Very important. Yet what? Tammy?
He doesn't know if he wants to choose to live or to die.
Right. See now, do most Christians, anybody in this life and living, what would they normally choose? Just general people.
Life.
Life. But Paul doesn't just say life and life only. Gee, I don't want to die. I choose now to live or to die. And next verse is very important. I'm in a strait. We have to quite quit.
We haven't got there yet.
No, I haven't got there, but...
Let's start there next week.
Start there next week. What is a strait, anyway?
A narrow place.
And he tells what he wants to do, right there. Any other comments that you might have on these verses before we close? Why is not John? Would you leave this? Oh, Tammy.
I have one comment. These verses, the Lord kind of pressed them on my heart toward the end of Mrs. Smith's life, and I kept thinking, it seemed like a lot of times she felt like she needed to still be there. She needed to be there for her people. And yeah. It's like, I was thinking, you know, it's far better. You know?
Yes.
And we were just praying that, you know, she would realize it's okay to go home.
It's okay to go home and be with Christ. That's right. Any other comments before we close? John, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please?
Yes. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for opening up your word today, Lord. We thank you for these